But let me now gather us together around the reading of God's Word. And it's Deuteronomy chapter 8 today. It's 20 verses, and so I'd like to read all of those verses. Because this is actually a challenge that Moses was giving to the people, because God was getting ready to deliver them to the land that he had promised to Abraham so long ago. And now it was right on the threshold of happening. And so this was a challenge to the people to remember God as they moved into that promised land. So God's word says, Deuteronomy 8, "The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a land, a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and springs, flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions, and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you, to do you good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, 'My power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth.' You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so shall you perish, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God." And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of that word. What God is doing here is asking his people to remember him. He starts off in this discourse by giving to Moses the words that will refresh the memory of the people of the land as they are on the brink of going into the promised land. And he knew that there would be a problem with the people as they began to enjoy all the benefits of that promised land, to turn their hearts away from him, to forget what God has done. So in God's encouragement here, in his exhortation through Moses for his people to remember him, he is first making them aware of what he wants them to remember, all that he had done for them, and then to encourage them in the way of remembrance. As I said, Memorial Day is a day for remembering. As we celebrate this weekend, we remember the dead and the wars, those who have fallen, men and women both. And they died for a reason. They died because they were defending those whom they loved. And they went out with a purpose to defend their homeland, to defend their homes from the evil that is around the world, and also to protect those who were not able to protect themselves. And as we remember those, we hold them up. And why do we do that? Because we never want to forget the sacrifice that was there so that we now can enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy. And that's God's whole purpose here as he talks to his people through Moses that day, for them never to forget all that he had done for them, never to forget the blessings of his hands, and always to remember the Lord their God. So he has, as we continue to remember the Lord our God, we know that God has led us through our own hard times. God gave to his people there as they were going through the wilderness the gift of manna. And he also said there that there was, and he also gave to them, I should say, meat in various forms and fashions. At one point in time, he had quail come into the camp. And so God satisfied their desires there, and the manna was given to them as a way to sustain them physically, but it was also to remind them that they were to depend upon God every day. They were to trust him. And so that brings up the first question for us today, is that as we are trying to remember God, as God leads us into our own personal wildernesses for whatever reason, and he does that, as he says here, to discipline us, and as he says in verse 8:5, to discipline us as a loving father would discipline his son. The discipline is God of God. Just never see that as well, what have I done wrong now? You may not have done anything wrong. It may just be that God wants you to grow. So see discipline as coming from the hand of a loving and a trusting God, and a loving God that we can trust. And that brings up that question, do we trust God? Do you believe Romans 8? Do you believe that God is always working for our good and all that he brings about in our lives and all that he allows to come into our lives? Do you believe that he is a good God? Do you believe that he has wrapped his arms around you and he wants to sustain you? He wants to walk with you. Is he a God that you can trust? And like I said, you know, maybe it's not punishment. We always think when bad things happen, you know, what have I done wrong? Just try to get that out of your minds and don't think immediately of those kinds of things, but to thank God, as James reminds us in his book, to thank God for those times when adversity comes upon us, because James, as according to James, God used those times to make us stronger and to draw us closer to him. We also talk of the providential care of God, and that is that intervening actions of God, as God just intervenes in the lives of his people. And God intervenes in ways sometimes that we don't even realize. He says here that he reminded his people that as they were walking through the wilderness that their shoes never wore out. Now, when you think of providential care, our first thoughts toward providential care is something miraculous, something that only God could provide. And so we think of that as the providential care of God. And by doing so, we continue to remember God. We see here by the Israelite shoes that did not wear out, either that meant that they did not wear out, as it says here, or perhaps that God always provided the materials that they needed in order to keep their shoes in good repair. But in whatever way God provided for this, he reminds them that I kept you, I sustained you on your journey, I gave you those things that you needed for what I am asking you to do. And that brings up a point for all of us who are in ministry here. It brings up a point for all of us who may doubt ourselves from time to time, may even ask, you know, why has God brought me to this place? What does he want from me? God will never ask you to do something, and he'll never bring you to something that he will not first give you the strength and all that you need to accomplish that task. And he intervenes into our lives in other ways too. Have you ever thought about how you get a job? Well, We generally get jobs because a company is experiencing the success that they need. They are prospering in some way or another, and they need manpower, womanpower, to come and to fill positions in order to accomplish the goals that that company has. And so when you stop and think about how God's providential care comes into the life of his people, when you apply for a job, there's a job opening there because God has blessed that company. And so what we fail to realize sometimes is that God is already working even ahead of us to prepare a place where we could go and to find employment so that we can provide for our families. Maybe you know a friend that also works at that company. God has provided a job for that friend, not only to bless that friend, but also to provide a way for you to come into that company as well. And so even in those little ways where we fail to perhaps see the hand of God at work, God wants to remind us in all of these things. Perhaps the people didn't even think about walking all that time and their shoes just continued to last, or else they always had the materials on hand. And perhaps that was one of those little things in the whole big scale of that journey where God was bringing so many people so far to come into the land of promise that could have slipped slipped through the cracks, as we like to say. But here God is reminding them, and even in those little things, He is intervening. And so He intervenes in our lives in ways that we probably fail to give Him credit. What about when we are discouraged? And how many times have people maybe called you or sent you a note or encouraged you in somehow and just wrapped their love around you to let you know? Or maybe they've given you sympathy. Maybe they've helped you when you've been mourning and they've just showered you with their love. That's a gift from God as well. That's God's providential care, to shower His love and grace upon us in a way that will encourage us, in a way that will strengthen us, in a way that will bring comfort to us. And so in all of these ways, God extends His providential care to His people. And in all of these ways, His exhortation to us today is, don't forget me. Don't forget me. And that brings up our thought for today, and I referenced Deuteronomy 8:2. I modified it just a little bit, just to shorten it for a concise thought for today. But Deuteronomy 8:2, the gist of that is, we are to remember the whole way the Lord our God has blessed us. We are to remember the whole way the Lord our God has blessed us. So in all of these things, whether it is prospering a country, think about what God was doing before He brought His people into that promised land. He was prospering those who had lived there. This was a land that was going to sustain His people, and God had brought blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing upon this land for the inhabitants that were already there, those inhabitants who were living in sin and opposition to God, those inhabitants who through God's grace were given more time to turn from their evil ways. But that land blessed them. That land was bountiful. But God's purpose in that was ultimately to bring His people there so that they would be blessed with a land that was already overflowing with all that they would need to sustain them. So He wants us to remember that He has led us through those hard times. He also wants us to remember all that He has done for us. As I said, the whole way the Lord our God has blessed us. God was leading His people into that land that was already stocked to the hilt with all that they would need. And He took them on this little memory tour here in Deuteronomy 8 through the words of Moses to remember what He had done for them. And so He wants us to know that we are to depend upon Him. And so in that dependence upon Him, we can become closer to Him. In 2 Corinthians 12, Paul here is writing. Let me read 2 Corinthians 12:10. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, Paul uttered these words, wrote these words, in the thought of his thorn in the flesh. If you remember that discourse that he had, you know, he was taken up into heaven and he saw all of these wonderful things, and he believed that God gave him a thorn in the flesh to humble him. Now, whatever that thorn in the flesh was, we don't know. Some people have speculated, but we don't really know what that thorn in the flesh was. But he said he prayed 3 times that God would remove it. And God's words to him were, I'm not going to remove it. What were the words? Everybody remembers, my grace is sufficient to you. And so when Paul writes these words, for when I am weak, then I am strong, he is writing to encourage the church in Corinth that we are to depend upon God, because we have to rely upon him in certain places in our lives, because there comes to each of us those times where we just can't do anything about them. And so we have to deliver ourselves over to the mercy of God and rely upon him. But in that time of weakness, we gain strength, because God wants us to be dependent upon him. God wants us to rely upon him, to trust him, to see him as a kind and loving God who wants to give us good things, who has our backs, who's looking out for us, as Romans 8 says. Again, a God that we can trust, a God that we can come to and know that he will give to us all that we need. And so we want to remember that about our God when hard times come, when those times in our lives come where we just feel like there's nothing I can do. What God wants us to do is to learn how to say that before we've done all that we can do. What's our tendency? Well, I'm going to do all that I can do, and then I'm going to give it all over to God. I'm going to do all that I can do, and when I've done all that I can do and I see that all that I can do is not enough, then I'm going to give it over to God. Well, God wants us to reverse that. He wants us to give it all over to him to begin with, and then go pursuing whatever this goal is, whether it's getting through the hardship that's before us, whatever the goal is in this time that you find yourself, God wants us to give it to him first and then go pursue that goal in faith, knowing that he is going to be with us every step of the way, that his providential care will be with us, that his grace and strength will be with us, that he will give us strength for whatever journey that we're on, whether it's battling a disease, finding a job, healing relationships, whatever journey we happen to find ourselves on. God wants us to give it to him first and then pursue that goal. And then at the end there in Deuteronomy, and this chapter of Deuteronomy, he reminds his people about the foolishness of forgetting God in our lives. The foolishness of forgetting God in our lives. We have a tendency to see our prosperity as directly related to our effort and ability. Now, relying upon the true God until the evil has passed, and then perhaps we go back to our lifestyle, you know, what we refer to as foxhole confessions. When the heat is on, when the guns are blazing, when we're not sure if we're going to get out of this unscathed, we come to God, and some of our most real, most fervent prayers are delivered to him when we're in the midst of whatever it is that we're facing. And we get down to him, and those prayers are real, and we feel our heart connected to him because there's something here that we just need his help in, and we come to him. But then after that hour of turmoil, and I use hour in a descriptive way, after that time of turmoil, do we remember God? Do we remember the fervency of that prayer that we had with him? Or do we allow ourselves to sort of slip back in to that lifestyle, to that habit, to those habits, that rhythm of life that we had before whatever it was came upon us and forced us on our knees and to come to God in that fervent prayer. One of the things I'd like to remind all of us as you are seeing today, that the empty pews in here. And so we see that our worship can be taken away from us. Many of you have told me how much you miss it, and I know that that's true. I miss it too. And we're looking forward to the day when all of us can come back together. But how precious has worship become to you now? How precious is the worship of God? How precious has that worship of God become to you? Once we come back together, once this coronavirus is a thing where we don't have to worry about, how precious will worship be to you then? Right now, when it's taken away, we all want to come back. We all want to be back in church. We all want to fill in the blank and just get back into this rhythm. We just miss it so. But then what's going to happen when we get back into that rhythm? When the worry of the moment is taken away? Are we still going to be as fervent about coming back together? Will we still desire in our hearts to come back together the way that we're all desiring now to come back together? That's what remembering God is all about. That's what it means to remember God. That He's the same God in your turmoil as He is in your prosperity. Our affluence can cause spiritual laziness. Or worse, it can become our accuser. Now, how does our affluence become our accuser? Because it shows us who we really are. It shows us who we really are. Let's be honest with ourselves. We're all actors and actresses to a certain extent. And so we have this mindset very similar to historical, biblical, Jewish tradition and way of thought. As long as I do good, God's going to bless me. And so if I'm in this trying time, you know, if I'm just working paycheck to paycheck or I've got some big expense that's come upon me and I'm working hard to pay it off, and so I want to be good so that God will bless me so that I'll have what I need so I can pay off this thing or I can provide better for my family. But just say God does bless us. Let's say He does give to us prosperity. How do we act then? How do we act in our lives? Do we remember that this blessing came from him, from His hand? And does that make us appreciative of Him? Does that make us more in love with Him? Does that make us people who want to be together and to give to Him our hearts? Or do we let that affluence then show us our true hearts and our true natures? Again, affluence can cause spiritual laziness. And if we're not watchful, it can also show us a very ugly lesson of who we truly are on the inside, where our hearts truly belong. When we have all that we need, when we're not worrying about what's in our bank accounts, when we're not worrying about where the food is going to come from on our tables, when all of us are well fed, when our bills are paid, when we got money to spend on vacations, when all of this that we used to worry about is no longer so great a worry, then our true hearts begin to come out. The true description of our relationship with God can begin to show itself. Someone wrote, "Temporal prosperity is a blessing of God, but if not so regarded, it becomes a curse." Let me read that to you again. Temporal prosperity is a blessing of God, but if not so regarded, it becomes a curse. God provides for one in need, and then that one begins to wonder, why couldn't He have given me more? I've told you that story before. It's supposedly a true story. It was told to me as a true story. two young men went off to Bible college, another denomination. The Bible college was in Tennessee, I believe it was. One of the young men found a job. He was sweeping up, cleaning up. And both of them had prayed that God would give them the means that they needed to complete their journey, to finish up their seminary training, their Bible college training. But one man was given a job, another man was sent money by various benefactors. And so money was slipped under his door, it was received in his mailbox. And so was God unfaithful to either one of those young men? God answered both of those young men's prayers. One had to work for it, the other was given that money. And so what is the curse there when prosperity comes? When we pray to God that God will meet a need, when we're given an opportunity perhaps to earn whatever we need to meet that need, or maybe even we are delivered like the other young man. Maybe someone slides it under our door or it appears in our mailboxes. Do we find ourselves asking the question, it could have been more? Someone asked me one day for something and I gave it to him. And that's the question that he asked me. Why couldn't you give me more? And so that's the heart that becomes entrenched in some of us. And I hope it's not, I hope that all of us here can say that they know someone, but it's not us. Someone's far away that feels like that. But that's the purpose, or that's the meaning when someone wrote that temporal prosperity is a blessing of God. But if it is not so regarded, it can become a curse. It curses us, it accuses us, because it shows us the true nature of our hearts. When we're not on our knees in prayer to God, when we're not depending upon Him for all of these things of life, this stuff of life, then where is our heart? Is it pursuing things outside of what God would have us to pursue? Or maybe if it's not even sinful activities in and of itself, is it activities that replace God in our life, replace the worship of God, replace the closeness that God would have us, the relationship that God would have for us and His people? So Israel was reminded that if they did not stay obedient, the fate would befall them that has and would befall the fate of those whom they were going to conquer. Israel did not learn that lesson. In fact, in another place in Scripture, Moses pretty much told them, you will fail. You will not stay completely faithful to God, and you will pay the price for it. And of course, we know the history of Israel is that eventually they were carried off into captivity because they failed to listen to God. They failed to keep Him first in their lives. And they allowed themselves to pursue in their affluence other things. And so God was forgotten. He was put aside. And so the question that we have before us today, in the affluence that we have, in the affluence that we enjoy, will we see that as a true gift of God? Will we see our prosperity as a true gift of God and respond to Him out of love and appreciation for all that He's done, the whole way the Lord has blessed us? Seeing His hand going before us and bringing prosperity to a company, also all for the reason that you can come and gain employment there because you prayed that you want a better job to provide for your children, provide for your family. And so God brings prosperity to a company so that eventually you can become a part of that company and provide better for your family. See the whole way that God intervenes in the lives of His people. And see all of our blessings, all of our prosperity as coming from the hand of God. Remember Him As we celebrate this Memorial Day weekend, as we honor those who have given the full sacrifice so that we can enjoy our freedom, so that we can enjoy our barbecues and our vacations with our families, there are men and women putting their life on the line for us at all times so that we don't have to. God is putting Himself in our lives for our benefit, and He wants us to remember Him. He wants us to remember all that He has done for us. And so see the blessings that you enjoy this day, this weekend, as coming from the hand of God. And remember God. Don't shove Him to the side. Learn the lesson from the nation of Israel, and don't follow their path. Join together with God in a closer relationship so that as He blesses us and continues to bless us, we will see His hands in all of our prosperity. Let me pray for you. Father, we thank You this day for all that You have accomplished in our lives, for all that we enjoy is coming from Your hand. And so, Father, now we just ask that You will continue to show us the benefit of being in a close relationship with You, of depending upon You, of relying upon You, that we might say along with Your servant Paul that when we are weak, we are at our most strong. And so, Father, we pray that as we go about the busyness of this holiday weekend, that we will continue to remember the blessings that have come to us by Your hand. As we enjoy our cookouts, as we enjoy our families, as we enjoy our vacations and the means that we have to take those vacations, Father, may we always remember that what we have comes through Your hands. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.